Welcome everybody to a meeting of the Regulatory Committee, Wednesday the 29th of November. We have two apologies, Councillor Kempton and Councillor Woodhead. Actually, are we all good in terms of the sound recording, Lauren? Better late than never. Okay, do we have a move for those apologies?
Yep.
Councillor Noon and a second to Councillor Lawton. I put the motion. Those for,
aye.
Against, carried. I take the leave of absence for Councillor Laws. In attendance, I note the absence of Director Scott McLean for Environmental Monitoring and Operations. I take the agenda as confirmed. Are there any conflicts of interest for today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee? Okay, I take that as a no. Public, there's no public forum, there's no presentations. I am happy to move the recommendation that the minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of October be received and confirmed as a true and accurate record. Do we have a seconder for those minutes? Thank you, Carmen, Councillor. I'll put that motion for the minutes. Those for the acceptance of those minutes?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. I won't be brave and ask if there's any matters arising from the minutes, sir. But I do note that the... If we go down far enough, that the actions... That there are no current actions. Okay, so on that basis, let's move to the director's report on progress prepared by Scott McLean, who's not here today. This is certainly the most meaty report of this committee meeting. I'll briefly put together the key points as I see them. Firstly, it describes regulatory activity for the reporting period from 29th September to the 10th of November. Under biosecurity, the mycoplasma bovis. Oh, I see biosecurity staff have been busy assisting MPI in the incursion response. There's been a depopulation of 4,000 cattle from four infected properties, two in South Canterbury and two in North Otago. So a significant situation. We've got an update on the rabbits in terms of the RHDV K5 application for release. It talks about the progress of the different applications, the ICVM and the unwanted organism applications, biosecurity, talks about the operational planning and the stakeholder engagement, and I think under a separate committee there will be some information on that. Under the wallabies, it talks about the research work that's going on in relation to the thermal imaging technology to assist where there's a low density. It talks about the Judas goat type of operation. Under compliance, it talks about the focus on dairy inspections, particularly on a high risk basis. It also highlights that there has been an audit being carried out on compliance and enforcement, and there will be a report in due course. Under freshwater biosecurity, talks about the Hessian matting success and some of the challenges there. And also I make note that as a council we have recently received a letter from the guardians of Lake Dunstan, and there might be some discussion on that. Earlier today we had some discussion on the environmental risk assessments, and this is an exciting piece of work where there's some extra water sampling being acknowledged in Bannockburn, Thompson's Creek, the Tairi, Wairika, the Awamoko rivers. And it talks about the whole process in terms of the ERRA and discussions with an independent consultant being taken on board, with a focus beyond community understanding of the rules, assessing and understanding the risks, and an offer. Then this is an exciting one from my perspective, an offer to take a discharge sample. And so we're looking at early next year for that kicking off. And then finally, an update regarding the Regional Pest Management Plan review And I'm sure Councillor Noon may have a comment in relation to that, where there's been information gathering during community sessions identifying pests that may be considered for inclusion. Once the draft list of pest subjects has been compiled, each subject will undergo a cost-benefit analysis. So there it is. I open it up for discussion, maybe ideally going from the top to the bottom. So, like, is there any discussion, for example, on the Mycoplasma bovis? I know that Scott McLean had said to me that, Nick, that we were looking at pulling our staff out of that significant piece of work. Any comment, any discussion? Well, I mean, the Mycoplasma bovis, I mean, from an operation, maybe even from a cost perspective, Nick, is it, are there any issues from your perspective? Has had a focus of resource?
Unfortunately, with Scott not here, I can't really comment. But from what I can recall seeing coming through financials, it hasn't been a huge cost.
Hasn't been a huge cost.
No.
Yeah. And Councillor Brown, in your patch, two farms in North Otago.
Just one, I think.
It's just one.
Yeah. No. Well, it was depopulated quite some time ago. But obviously, I'm told there are issues in South Canterbury. There's still ongoing issues, but obviously there's some people going into it.
And as a council, do you believe that we're doing our job?
Well, I'm not too sure what.
You're not too sure. Okay. Any other discussion on that? If not, rabbits. We have talked about rabbits quite a bit before, and I know that Scott's sort of gone out of his way to put the key steps, but there's quite a bit going on, but I think it's all tracking in the right direction. Any comments with rabbits? If not, wallaby activity. I would like to just put a thought in relation to the wallaby activity. It seems to me we're continually, with the wallabies, getting reports of, you know, incremental issues with wallabies in terms of two wallabies here, two wallabies there. And it seems to me that the biggest issue with the wallabies, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Eakan boundary is in fact south of the Waitaki River, and that a wallaby population has been established there, and that the ORC has no natural defence if Eakan is not doing its job. And it seems to me that Eakan is not doing its job. And in my view, my thoughts is that we should consider the pros and cons of actually moving that biosecurity boundary to the Waitaki River and possibly automatic gates on the dams. And I know we've talked around some of these issues before, but it seems fundamentally, I was up at the North Otago Field Day, and it seemed to me when you just look at the wallabies numbers that are south of the Waitaki River, that supposedly Eakan is taking responsibility for, we're never going to win it.
Well, Councillor Neil. I think it's probably unfair, Mr Chairman, to point the finger at Environment Canada. We've had a liaison with them, and it's particularly unfair when we haven't got Mr McLean, who could answer this question far better for us.
Okay.
So I think it's a fairly rugged
best
statement.
Time to ask the question. Yeah. No, point taken, Councillor Neil. Point taken.
I just think this is something we need to address sooner than later. There's some urgency with this. As you say, there is a breeding population south of the Waitaki. There are real issues up there, and we need to get on and address it, because it's going to get worse if we're not careful.
Yeah. But what do you think of my comment in terms of the boundary issue, the fact that the boundary, it means that we've got that, and that is the reality, we've got a breeding population in there that we don't have any responsibility for.
Well, I'm not too sure we need to shift the boundary.
Right.
But I certainly think we need to coordinate with Environment Canterbury and the bridge crossings. Somehow we need to get a better system to control that passage area.
I mean, what we're told is that that's too hard. Whereas, in fact, if you go across the bridge, Beaumont, if you're a cyclist, you've got to press a button. Why couldn't we do the same on the dams with a gate or an automatic opening gate? Councillor Bow.
Might be a bit hard to get the wallabies to press the button.
That is exactly my point.
Wallabies do swim, though, too. But there's a bit of water there they can swim in. But I think we need to be politically involved, too.
Yes.
That's us as a councillors versus ECAM, we need to get together around the table. It appears that the staff have been getting around on a staff-to-staff basis, but maybe there's some clear message not getting through into the elected members of ECAM. And I think that it would be appropriate for a deputation of our councillors to meet through you, Andrew, Councillor Noon, to be able to set that ball rolling in communication, which is exactly what we've done with transport and every other thing that we've worked together. And I think this is an instance that we do need to get around. Since I've been here 4 years, I've had no involvement with ECAN on an official arrangement like that, but I think that's what we need to be doing.
Very good. On the topic of PES.
More than happy through the chair to follow up Councillor Bell's suggestion.
I think it's a good idea.
With Mr McLean, and I think getting people around the table at the government's level can only help. It's just another mechanism, I suppose, to get the message across.
Thank you. Okay.
If I can, through the chair, just the suggestion of us moving the boundary isn't as simple as as it sounds, because
I understand it.
You know, legally we can't fund activity outside of our region, so there's obviously a lot to consider there. So if any work was being done, potentially there's work we could do, but it would still have to be funded by ECAN as it's their region.
Yeah, I wasn't actually proposing moving the boundary per se. I was talking about the boundary purely for biosecurity matters, and it still has the funding point that you make, so the point is well made, but at the end of the day it seems to be, it comes to do with the issues of funding processes versus the reality is that the wallabies are in danger of bolting, in my view, or jumping. Councillor,
through the chair, my only other comment would be that my understanding that ECAN are in the process of reviewing their pest management plan. They're a little bit ahead of us, so there may well be some of those affected farmers on the southern part of the Waitaki that may take the opportunity to feed in through that process to comment on a wallaby invasion, for the want of a better word, through the review of their pest plan.
Okay, thank you. So maybe just opening the rest of the report up, is there any other discussion? We've got compliance activity, we've got the freshwater biosecurity. What about the Lagrosiphon? We recently had the letter from Councillor Deaker from the Guardians of Lake Dunstan, and there's a voice of discontent. A new chair, so I suspect he's getting up to speed.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. We all got that letter, and to be fair, Mr. Christensen wrote to us as a citizen and not in that position. There was no indication that he represented a wider group in the letter.
He did put down at the bottom he was the chair of that particular group.
Okay. All right. I withdraw and apologise. Any case, I replied to him, and we've exchanged a few letters. And he was really interested in what we're being reported on here about the Hessian matting trial being begun by the Linz contractors. He was encouraged by that, and he asked me if he could have some mechanism of being able to be kept up to date with whether that's successful or not.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask if there was an officer who could provide me with some way of keeping him in the loop on whether that is a successful way of suppressing the weed.
Is anybody able to confirm just how often the Linz and the Guardians and that particular group actually meet? Do you know that, Nick? Anybody else?
I thought it was quarterly.
Quarterly?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so if it's quarterly, Councillor Deaker, there should be a process for regular updates, yeah? And we have a representative on that group, I assume it's Scott.
Yep. And if he is the chair of that Guardians group, he could have informal contact with the Linz contractors, I'm sure, and they would tell him how things are going. I can't see any reason why that wouldn't be a matter of public interest.
They also need to be, through the chair, careful in terms of they're the friends of Lake Guardian. Versus the Guardians, which is a statutory appointed body. So Lake Dunstan has got a different status in terms of which is where it comes back to our duty of not so much engagement, obviously, but in terms of the care for those lakes. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So is Mr. Christensen not part of the official group of guardians?
No. No, they're friends of Lake Dunstan.
Okay.
It's the guardians of Lake Wanaka.
All right, well, in that case, he can't just ring up Lynn's and say, how's it going?
So, yeah, so that's interesting. Like, as a committee... Sorry, Councillor Brown?
No, that's not creepy. They're part of the group that manages Lake Dunstan, these people, as Chairman pointed out earlier today. So it seems to me that he should be getting regular reports.
Yeah, isn't Councillor Lawton saying there's two groups up there?
Different lakes, for sure, and the Friends of Lake Dunstan certainly play a role of the community voice for Lake Dunstan, but they're not, just in terms of the terminology, we need to be careful that there's the guardians who have a statutory responsibility to report to the ministry about the health of Lake Wanaka, and then there's the Friends of Lake Dunstan
I've got this 100% clear. That this letter that we've received from Glenn, I think.
Friends of Lake Dunstan.
Yeah. Are they a member of this management group with Lynn's that meets quarterly? Yes or no?
I would have thought that they had a voice around the table, but I don't know how official that is. Does anyone else know?
They're actually called the Guardians of Lake Dunstan, but they don't have any statutory responsibility, in my understanding, as they do in Lake Wanaka.
Do they officially call themselves the Guardians, do they? Okay.
Okay.
I will raise that matter with Scott.
It's in here, it's Guardians of Lake Dunstan.
Yeah, no, thank you. But I'll raise that matter with Scott and just dot the I's and cross the T's, just in terms of an update discussion, how's the communication going, and this person, is there a response, etc. Yeah?
Okay.
Well, I'm sure Lynn's is the person across all those groups. There must be a connection as to the work that's going on.
Okay.
Technology.
Yeah.
Okay, no, thank you. And the environmental risk assessment. It's a huge project, and Councillor Deakey, you talked, it's going to come up in your communications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more detail here, Mr. Chairman, on your agenda than there is on the comms agenda, but they do blend together quite nicely.
But at the end of the day, Sean, this, do you want to give us an outline? There's going to be a key catchment case study on the shag. You actually say the shag in your report.
Yeah. Do you want me to provide that update now or in my report? Because I plan to provide an update.
Okay, how about you do it later in your report without... Which would you prefer to do it?
I think to keep things moving, I'll put it in my report.
Okay, we'll talk about it then. Okay, thank you. So there it is. Is there any further discussion? Councillor Noon.
Just very briefly, item 6. I did attend, along with Councillor Deakey, the public drop-in session for the pest management review held here, and I know Councillor Neil attended the Cromwell one, and no doubt other councillors attended the other sessions throughout the region. The one here, over sort of 2.5 hour period, I think there was about 18 or 20 people turned up, a mix of people from retired farmers to environmentalists, some elected members from along the road from the DCC, and representatives from community groups as well, so a real cross-section of people attending, and I think there was good feedback. I think staff were quite satisfied with the way the session went, and I'm sure that applied for the other sessions around the region, but others may want to comment.
Yeah, and also we had a forum recently, didn't we, with the, as well as the biosecurity people, so we're getting on top of this topic, well, we're progressing it, and I found it interesting what was said here, that the focus on getting that draft list of pests compiled and then to undergo the cost benefit analysis on a range of management scenarios. So step by step.
Yes.
There's some huge challenges. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, I had a phone call from a constituent, and this is to do with the pests. So he had a visit from one of our staff members, and facilitator or whatever you would like to call Phil Murray from the Secretariat of Wild and Pines Group.
Yes.
And they were wanting to immediately, legally, spray and cut down his shelter belts. and this is in the sticks in the pay route, and he had to explain to them he'd be happy enough for something to happen, but it needs to be a plan. And he didn't realise that Contortia was even illegal until he looked up the website and found out it was a pest. So there's been a problem in our communication to the farming community about this. He's well aware and sees the responsibility of Walden Pines on the hills, but he ain't going to just take out his shelter belts down on the flat there, because it's an animal welfare for health, otherwise because of the extreme climates and pay route and sharing stock and newborn lambs. So the pressure was being put on him, not from our representative, but from the Central Otago chappy that was with him, with our representative from ORC there. And they were suggesting that he will get prosecuted if he does not take this opportunity of lenses and get the belts removed now. So he rang me with this concern. So I think that we need to be looking at this, and I've suggested for him to work along with I'll name the officer, it's Richard Lord in Cromwell, to try and form some sort of a plan, because I know from a rural aspect you cannot just take shelter belts out bang like that in that particular element and climate in that rural area. So somehow we need to be working alongside, and his indication is that nobody in that area knew that it was illegal to have these trees.
Well,
it takes decades for the trees to grow again.
Yeah. More than 50. I mean, Contorta pines have been in the pest plan for decades. How could you not know that?
Well,
not decades, Michael.
Yes, it is. I've been here 15 years. It was way before my time.
Okay. Our discussion, Bob. The chair, please. But just Councillor Bell, I mean, a contrary view to Councillor Deacon is the one that, it seems to me, when you're talking about wilding pines, you're talking about wilding pines. You know, like it's
up in the hills.
It's wilding, and that's my perspective, that it's wilding and it's intermittent. Maybe I'm wrong in that. Councillor Deacon's pointed out the pest plan, but Councillor Brown.
I've had a phone call from over there too, and there's great concern. Obviously, some of these trees are planted at 2,000 feet, and it's very difficult to get any other trees to grow out their thing. And it goes back decades, like people kind of put these shelter belts in, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 years ago. And I've talked to Mr. McLean about it. Basically, he says that the action group in Alexander's got no authorisation to demand people remove those shelter belts at this stage. Whilst it is in our pest plan, we need to have a look at it through the pest review, through the pest plan review, because it is an issue.
Yeah.
I think they've had this.
Okay.
People up there have had discussions with Mr. McLean.
No, that's good. No, I've taken some notes here as well to pass on. Councillor Noon.
Through the chair, just to back up your comment, my understanding with regards to the definition.
Yeah.
Just parking the consortia pine for a moment, but the definition of pine versus a shelter belt, for example, has the tree being planted for a purpose? So that's sort of the threshold. So, I mean, if it's been planted for a purpose, I mean, clearly a shelter belt is planted by, for a reason. That is a sort of a rule of thumb. I'm not sure whether it would stand up in a court of law, but as a determining a wilding pine and a pine that's been established for a purpose, whatever, whether it's farming activity or whatever, or a forest or whatever, and providing it's contained in that area that was originally planted.
And I think that's, I mean, let's see how this progresses. This will be put back to your pest group, and I'll come to you in a minute, Councillor Lawton. But unless we're actually saying that Contorta is actually banned,
you're saying that be
here? Yeah, it is.
Full stop.
Landowners have a responsibility to remove Contorta pine from their properties. That's what our pest plan has said forever.
Which is what Mr. Murray was endorsing to this discussion.
Okay, and we'll take, but there are different perspectives. We'll feed that back into that group. This is the time to think about these issues.
Cool.
Councillor Lawton.
Sorry, I was just checking my understanding that that contorta is completely banned across the entire region. Is that right? Okay, so there's no... Okay. Because it's obviously the wilding, the seeding wilding issue, rather than whether or not they've been planted. It's whether or not they're wilding. And obviously that they've been able to grow at that altitude is the problem, because they are successful at that problem.
Yeah, but regardless, we've got an issue, and I take Councillor Baron Brown's perspective that this needs to be fed back into the group and discussed. And it sounds that Scott's well and truly aware that whoever's going around and making these instructions need to tread carefully.
Through you, Mr. Chair, there needs to be a plan put in place for these particular circumstances. These people are not against it, and they're all for controlling wilding pines. In fact, they go up into the Lammermoors and pull them out whenever they see them and do whatever they do. But because of the shelter belt and stock welfare thing, there needs to be a plan put in place for it to be another stage.
Very good. Okay.
Thank you. Through the Chair, I just wanted to talk about item 4, freshwater biosecurity. Just a good reminder here, because this was the check, clean, dry day for the race competition at Lake Dunstan and Wakatipu, and just want to go over to our communications. Remember we talked about being in partnership with Fish and Game, making sure this message got through? Yeah. How did we get on with this? Because this is a timely reminder, isn't it?
Yeah. There have been discussions about that, that when you're taking on board around the merchandise, that's definitely underway.
Yeah, it's underway, but we haven't got across the line yet. We've had a couple of conversations with Fish and Game, but sometimes they can be quite elusive to have those conversations with.
Right.
So
yeah.
We'll continue with those.
Yes.
And probably just push a bit harder.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, certainly, you know, Suzanne, we're now start of December, so we need to get on with it, yeah. Am I allowed to say that? Thank you. Apologies.
May I ask you to say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
We've recently brought on a new staff member, Ben, into the comms team, and he'll be working on the summer campaign.
Yeah.
So there's someone dedicated to that work.
Great.
So we will get on with it.
Apologies for using that phrase, but
that's good work.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Anyway,
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just going back to the rabbits.
Yes.
Because we only just touched over that, and it has every making.
I was surprised when we didn't get a comment from you.
Yeah, it's going to be a rampant season for rabbits this year everywhere where they are away. They're away in big numbers. And so we've there's a bit of talk here from Scott about the release of the new virus. And I see the last point is
Stakeholder engagement?
Yes, stakeholder engagement and communication material has been prepared for circulation, which, because there's a lot of people sitting wondering, is this really ever going to happen? So this communication, just through us, is it through you, Ms. Sutton, or is it...
The
communication material has been prepared for circulation. Now, I presume this is communication material regarding the new virus. And at what stage are we at with that?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people out there really wanting to know what's happening.
Yes. So this is K5?
Yes.
So through the chair, my understanding is that it's being prepared by MPI at the moment, and they'll be releasing that to us.
So it's their communication, not ours.
We need to know what they're saying so
okay.
that we can be consistent.
Yep, thank you.
Through the chair, over the last week we have had a couple of media inquiries on that very topic, and we have deflected it because we have to wait for their official line before we can comment.
So can I ask, what's generally their approach to, you know, are they conservative? Do they only communicate when they've got ticks on all their boxes, or do they do it progressively? Because I think as Councillor Neil sort of asking from a farming perspective, the farmer wants to know what the management issues are on their property, and whether in fact there's a reasonable chance that K5 will be released at a certain time next year, yeah?
Mm. Through the chair, I couldn't comment on their practices, but I could make an assumption that they'd be quite sensitive about any kind of virus release in their communications around that initiative until they have all their ducks lined up.
Yeah, okay.
It can result in some negative publicity, so I'd imagine their kind of people are being very prudent.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Councillor Robinson.
Oh, just as you'll note, the currently open for submissions, so they probably wouldn't be commenting until submissions close on the 14th of December.
Okay.
Going through a formal process at the moment, through the gazetting process.
Yeah, but even, you know, even to communicate that to our stakeholders.
Through the chair, which we did in our media release, so we mentioned that we're going through that.
Okay, so I think we've had some pretty good discussion. Unless there's any further discussion, there is a recommendation at the bottom that the report be received. If there's agreement, do we have a mover for that recommendation?
Yeah, we have a mover.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Neil, Councillor Hope. So we have a mover and a seconder that this report be received. I'll put that motion. Those four.
Aye.
Against, carried. Right. Second report is the RMA Biosecurity Act Building Act Enforcement Activities in the last period, prepared by Peter Callagher, Legal Counsel, and in terms of infringement notice in the last period, there's a total of zero. Authorised legal proceedings, a total of zero, and abatement notices, a total of zero. Not a lot's been happening, Tanya, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that true, or is that a wrong conclusion? Is it, or is everybody really good?
In this
good?
Space, yeah, not a lot's been happening.
Maybe I can... The point that actually jumped out and really interested me was the Building Act 2004, Dr Palmer, if I may, where it says 11 notices to fix were issued with respect to earth embankment dams in the Otago region. That number, it seems to me, is slowly ramping up. Am I right in that?
Mr Chairman, 8 or 9 of those were in respect of one property.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit of it's a unusual, uncommon situation.
And are you able to provide any update, or is that inappropriate at this time?
They were effectively small earth embankment dams that didn't have the durability requirements required under the building code.
And were they building it, or had it been in place for quite a period of time?
They were in operation.
It had been built for quite a period of time?
I'm not sure how long they'd been there, but they were in operation. They had water impounded behind them, yes.
Okay, and how did the notice of fix actually come about? Like, what was the inspection process? Was there a consent required?
I can't recall the details of how council came to know about them, but as soon as we did, we engaged expert engineer to assess them, and on that advice, we issued notices for them to be removed or remediated.
Okay. Thank you. Right. I'll open up the report. Any discussion? If not, the recommendation of the report be noted.
That.
We have a mover, Councillor Robinson, a seconder, Councillor Deaker. Oh, no further discussion. I'll put the motion. Those four.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. To our third report, Consents and Building Control, prepared by Marion Weaver. Okay, key points, the public notification. So we've got a recent application to place a pontoon and occupy the coastal marine area of Vauxhall, and I understand, Councillor Robinson, you've got a draft hearing panel for that, yeah.
Waiting to hear back with whether the DCC would like to appoint somebody.
Oh, okay, very good, yeah. Limited notification, there are 10 applications under limited notification being processed. Objections, there are 2 objections with costs have been objected to, and appeals, we previously knew that the Kyburn application has been appealed, and there it is. I'm going to open that up. Tania, any comment?
Yes, through you, Mr Chair. The table in number 5, consent administration, has a couple of errors in it. The totals, the amount, the numbers down the bottom, 50 should read 76 and 44 should read 70. So apologies for that.
Right, hands up who didn't spot that. Yeah. Oh, okay, let's look at this table. Let's look. Is there anything?
Else unusual about it apart from the fact that we had the wrong number in there. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I see. The numbers that are there don't actually add up to 50. Yeah. I see. I didn't actually spot that. No. Apologies. Anyway, any further discussion, anybody? Pretty administrative.
Yeah. Can I just Councilor ask Walton. A question? Just in terms of the page 15 where there's all of the inquiries, mm-hmm. is there any way... I just see that there's quite a lot of alignment there with the communications information, and you know, at the previous council meeting there was a lot higher numbers in the Queenstown Lakes. This time there's a lot higher numbers in the CODC. Is there any way of being able to understand why those numbers are coming in? Like, can we kind of
trend analysis
from social media, whether or not it's related to something specific? Is this because of
good question?
Yeah, it just seems pretty arbitrary just to have the numbers in terms of where they're coming from. Interesting though, mm-hmm. and if we could get a figure for if there's a particular issue in a particular region for something specific, if we could be more proactive in that space beforehand or mm-hmm.
Through you, Mr. Chair, I can certainly ask my staff to provide some commentary around why we've had a spike in a particular area and a lull in others. Yep.
Yeah. There may be no particular reason, but
sure.
Yep.
I assume it just it's a reflection of activity in a particular area. Yeah, where consents are required or audits or.
But is it because of a particular event that's caused that, or there's been a change in policy, or whatever it might be?
And I mean, I encourage Tanya that a report like this, that if there are any strategic issues that jump out, that some comments are written with the table so mm-hmm. that we're aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank okay.
Thanks. There's been some ideas floating around in my team around the idea of putting together a bit of an issues register or a hot topic list, which I could include in my director's report. So from my meetings with stakeholders, there's lots of things coming forward.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that would be of interest in this forum, but that's just an idea we have been throwing around.
Definitely.
Sounds like a great idea. Anything encourages connection with their community and understanding what their hot topics are can't be bad, can it? Yeah? Mm. You agree?
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I think it's a good thing. Well done.
Increased transparency has got to be a good thing.
Increased transparency, that's great. Okay, any further comment in relation to this report? Recommendation, the report be noted.
I move it.
We're going to move it. Councillor Lawton, Councillor Robinson, seconder. I'll put the motion. Those for, aye. Against, carried. Right, thank you. Right, Dean Ward appointment replacement, also prepared by Marion Weaver. As we know, the prime focus of this is to meet with clusters of deemed permit holders based on catchments and all along the steps required to replace the deemed permits and encourage water management groups. So, Tanya, we've got some meetings coming up, mm-hmm. The Manuhiri Care and the Gibson, is that correct?
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair. I think that they're out there this week.
Out there this week?
In the Manuhiri Care. Oh, last week, yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Gibson's this week. And how are the meetings going?
Through the chair, so we had two sessions in the Manuhiri Care.
Yeah.
They were, compared to other deemed permit meetings that have been held, they were extremely poorly attended.
Extremely poorly attended.
So normally, Bruce would get between 12-25 people.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a good thing insofar as everybody's been so educated in this process that they don't need to turn up and they've already got groups? Or is it a bad thing that actually...
Or is it timing because everyone's up making hay?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
Councillor Bell.
Well, I attended one in Omakau and the one in Vex.
So you're one of those numbers?
No, not by that figure, no. I actually might have given it one more actually than what you gave. It was two of Bex by my count and four or five in Omakau. But they came in dribs and drabs in Omakau. We only had one at 1:30. But what was mentioned at Bex was by one of them was really they already know what to do and where to go and how to go. So that's apart from haymaking and everything else perhaps being something that could be interfering with it. It wasn't significant enough for them to really go along. They already know.
They know it all.
The presentation really was from Bruce was basically saying that we're here to help and these are some things we can do and you don't get charged for and that part's there. Da da da.
Yeah.
And but you know, get together and get your consultant and everything else. Well, they already sort of know that.
Yeah.
And they're much more ahead of that. So.
And we have had a well attended forum in Alexandra as well, didn't we? Which is just up the road.
Earlier on,
yeah. Didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
About 90 years.
Yeah. So maybe some of these people were there. Maybe.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on this report? It's a work in progress. We need to keep at it. I also see that there was a paper presented at the Tagus Thelton Law Society.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to keep on doing all these things and get a program and try to stick to it.
Can we have a copy of that paper?
Yeah, sure. I'll ask Ms. Weaver.
And
yeah.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Hope?
I was going to ask through the chair exactly what Councillor Lawton said. Could we have a copy and also... was Miss Winter, were you at that presentation?
No, I wasn't.
It'd just be interesting to know how it went and also from a law point of view, you know, what they picked up on or I just think it'd be very interesting.
Get a bit of feedback as well.
Feedback on that.
Do you know at all?
Through you, Mr. Chair, this is the second time that Ms. Weaver has presented to that conference, and I understand that last time she was swamped with people in the tea break afterwards coming up. After I did ask her how it went this time, she said there was less kind of a flurry of activity, but still lots of people sort of interested in it. But I can ask you to give a summary of the response to that as
Marion turns up from time to time at some of these,
she does, yeah.
And maybe even at the next one, she might give us a bit of a heads up.
Yeah, come along because she's very good, very capable of what she does, and it'd be interesting to say, well, look, I found this question keeps coming out from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, there it is. Some work to do. Keep at it. We have a recommendation of the report be noted.
Yep.
Councillor Hope is moving. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Noon, I'll put the motion. Those for. Aye. Against. Carried. Thank you very much. I close today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee.